Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We just praise you, Lord, for a wonderful night tonight. We thank you, Father, for the authority that you've given us over all the power of the enemy. That didn't leave out any. And in the name of Jesus, right now, I come against any kind of interruption in this fellowship. Everything is going to be just nice, smooth, and no interruptions whatsoever. And we praise you. We thank you, Lord, that all the computers and phones are going to stay connected, and everybody's going to be able to do whatever it is that they need to do and talk about whatever it is they need to talk about. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you answer our prayers. This is so awesome. We're coming into a time, Father, when we're going to need that. And we praise you, Father, for giving everybody in here bold faith to speak it out, declare it, and decree it. And we thank you for it, Father. And then we thank you, Father, for the praise that you're going to send out to. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, Lord. We ask that you anoint everybody here to be able to speak about what you want us to talk about tonight. And that's praise, praising you, Lord, because that wins the wars for us. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for all of us in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us. Speak through us. Anoint us all to get the revelations that you have here, and not only that, to put them in action. And we praise you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for all the prayers that are answered and will be answered. And we thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let us be led by your Spirit, Lord, and set a watch before our lips that we don't speak anything but what you want us to speak. And we thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. All right. Has anybody got any prayer requests? Oh, everybody prayed up. That's good. Go ahead, Missy.
Merle and I are leaving Saturday to go see my family. Roger's birthday party is Sunday, and we'll come home then on Monday. And I just want y'all to agree with me. This fast thing isn't going to be over yet when we go Saturday, and my parents want to go out to eat, so I just praying about it, and I wasn't going to really say anything to them about it, but I think I need to call my mom and talk to her about it tomorrow. And Lord, I just pray that that the talk goes well, and that we just bind up any religious spirits, and I pray that we come to an agreement, and that everything goes smoothly, and that the whole issue doesn't cause contention and strife. And we just bind up faction in the name of Jesus. And I just praise you and thank you, Lord, that nothing but the good's going to come out of my conversation with my mom. And I thank you for safe travels there and back, and a great time with my family. And I just thank you, Lord, for my little grandson, Ryder. And I just thank you for blessing him and Matt and Megan. And that everything goes smoothly, Lord. And we just have a good time celebrating his first year trip around the earth. A 1 year trip around the earth as a 1 year old, as his mama put for his card invitation. And I just thank you, Lord, for blessing our family with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith together with mission. We thank you, Father. It's going to be a productive visit in the spirit. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hey, Andre.
Good morning. How are you?
I am blessed, brother. I'm blessed.
Yeah, I'm lucky enough to have a day off work today, so I'm here.
Awesome. Thank
Yeah,
you.
yep. And Retta's busy with her interpreter's course today, so I'm here as well for that. So I would it be possible for me to ask for a couple of prayer requests?
Sure.
Well, I think firstly for me, there are days that I struggle with certain things, like I can be extreme in the way I react to things. Like either I'm not, like I'll be too soft if it's a discipline thing, or I go to the other end and I'm just like, I'm gone to 0 to 100 instead of trying to find that medium ground. I also find it, my thought process becomes very linear, and I find it very difficult to see other things or what other people are feeling around me if I'm already on one track. So I really do want to open up my mind and see what's going on around me, especially my family. But also, I have a friend of mine who was involved in a major accident on the last weekend. He was at a charity, a 3-day charity ride. He likes to ride motorbikes. He helps out his local community a bit. I'm fairly certain he's not a Christian. But apparently he was not even a part of what happened. At this place, a group of people asked someone to leave, and he took major offense to it. He might have been influenced by alcohol as well. And he's got in his vehicle and driven through a whole bunch of people. And this guy that I know, he's in intensive care at the moment. They ran over him, and he's got a broken leg, broken arm, broken shoulder, spinal injuries, pelvic injuries, whole heap of stuff. So I just thought, like we've prayed a bit, but like he's recovering already. Like there's been great signs in his recovery. So I'd just like to send an extra prayer request for him as well and his family. If
Okay.
that's okay.
Yeah. You want me to pray?
Yeah, yes, please. Yeah, I mean, like I've prayed as well, but
Well, you go ahead and then I'll follow suit, okay? Yeah.
right. I'll start with me.
Yeah.
Dear Father in heaven, come to you this day to give you thanks and praise for all the glorious things that you do for us. And we thank you, Lord, for this great and wonderful day and fellowship and all the support and wondrous ways in which you have sent many people and many ways to help us and teach us in all things. But also, Father, we ask, Lord, for your help and your guidance. I ask specifically for help in being more aware of what is going on around me, especially with my family, to have an understanding, wisdom, and discernment on what is going on around me, to be appropriate in the way that I act and react, and to uplift and support my family in the way that a man, a husband, and a father is meant to. So I ask, Lord, for your help on these things. In Jesus' name. But also, Father, I thank you, Lord, for my friend Micah, and what he is going through at the moment. We ask, Lord, that his healing process is swift, that it is strong, that he is fully healed in your glory. And send out your angels to guard, guide, and protect him and his family in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you place your hand upon him so that he feels your love. And I thank you already, Father, for the miracle in which you've already bestowed upon him, that he is already on the way to recovery. But also, Father, I send out a prayer to all those other people who were involved, and even the one who has been accused of doing these things. I ask, Lord, that you touch his heart as well, and that whatever the outcome is, that he also becomes more aware of you, and that ultimately all the scars that are there can be healed amongst all those people who have been involved in this incident. So I ask, Lord, for your help and guidance, and to touch each and every one with your glorious hand of love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we put our faith together with Henri. We believe, and we thank you, Father, that you are going to give Henri discernment, wisdom, and rest in his heart, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for placing it in him to just stop a moment before he reacts, and just listen for the Spirit and what you want to tell him, and give him the words to say in these confrontations, Father. And I thank you that you're going to make him a man of not ups and downs, but just level all the time in you, Lord. And I thank you for that discernment, Father. We thank you for giving him great discernment, wisdom also, in the word, and we praise you for that, Father. We lift up his friend to you, and Lord, we ask and we pray right now that you would send somebody around to him that he would listen to come to you, Lord. And we praise you for that, for granting repentance to him, bringing him into the kingdom. And we thank you, Father, right now that, as Andrea said, this man is healed completely in the name of Jesus, that when he gets through, there's not going to be any problems in the name of Jesus, and he'll give all the glory to you, Father. We declare and bring him into the kingdom of God right now in Jesus' name. We declare and decree it, and we praise you, Father, for breaking the power of Satan off of him, from being able to listen to the gospel in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. We believe it. Thank you, Father. Amen. It is done.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat.
Father, we also ask that you would just strengthen Mika, I believe is his name. And give him faith and clarity for forgiveness, and that he would resolve any unforgiveness in his heart towards this individual that created the damage here. And Lord, that you would set him free with a spirit of mercy. And we thank you for that, Lord. We praise you for the work that you're doing in him, even right now. Lord, fill him with your Holy Spirit. Bring him into your life, into your awareness. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that all things that come into our lives work out together for good to those that love you. And Lord, we trust you for bringing this man's heart into a place of love for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Samuel.
I want to tag with this, because we're all in agreement here. And I can relate to you, Andre, about the first prayer. So it's not just for you. I'm in agreement for you, for everyone in the outreach, anyone even listening. So, Father, please soften our hearts even to just listen to you, no matter what situation it be. Let us just to be drawn to what you said in your word, and just be steadfast in that, and not give in to anything that could be any form of offense. We're not to take offense, but help us to just listen to you and your spirit. So, and that person who had that friend of Andre's, We want to lose forgiveness to him so that he can be brought into the kingdom too. But more importantly, let your power shine through complete, full-fledged healing throughout everyone, especially the deep emotional wounds. And I thank you, Father God, that you are the King of restoration through Lord Jesus the Christ. And we thank you so much and give you all the glory. Let it is done. It is finished. Thank you. Yes, Lord, it is done. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. It is done. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Father. Amen and amen. I think we're fixing to see a miracle there, Andrew. I believe we will. Glory to God. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Phil. Go ahead, brother.
Another praise report. And also prayer requests. So, the Lord's been putting amazing favor on us, and it's just overwhelming. I'm gonna write all this out, and it's amazing. The timing of everything, it's like day in and day out. Everything is in perfect order. We were searching for a house. We were claiming houses kind of a little too quickly. And the Lord was saying, just don't put your hope on man. Just trust on us. Trust on me. And I will lead you guys through. And I get a job offer the same day. A house shows up. You know, we go over there. The current tenant, just the Lord sets her heart in our favor. She's leaving us her washer and dryer. I mean, that's big money right there, you know? And we were going to go shopping for one for a set, and she's leaving us a desk, a lazy boy. She's letting us use her dining room set. She's probably going to leave that too. She's going to touch up all the walls, paint everything, make it look pretty for us. I mean, there's probably stuff I'm missing, you know? Just amazing favor of the Lord, just setting hearts in our favor, you know. And Lord, I just want to pray up Dorothy here, the current tenant. She's living with her son, and you just bless her, Father. Wherever she's going, her new home, we ask that you increase her 100-fold. Everything she's doing for us, Lord, we pray that she just has a heart for you. We call her to you, Lord, and that she just is blessed by us in turn as well. I pray, Father, that whenever I go down there Saturday to help her move, it's going to be a blessed time, and things are just going to be half the way they actually are, and just it's going to be done so quickly and miraculously. And I praise you, Father, for good weather and just your presence among us, and that you just lead the way, Lord. And I know it's going to be amazing, because there's nothing I could have done it with my own strength, Lord. This is all you, and I praise you, Father, and glory to your name. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's an awesome, awesome testimony. All right. Romeo. Okay. I got to see if I... Oh, that's cute, little boy. All right. Praise the Lord for the newest addition to the fellowship. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Our testimony, our praise report. Yeah. Wherefore art thou? Yeah, Phil.
I had one more prayer request. So the landlady that is the real estate agent, I guess she's a broker, or anyway, Diane Tomek. She was a Christian for many, many years, and she told us all these stories of her life, and everything we've heard her say and confess is she's basically still a Christian, a believer, but she doesn't recognize God as the God of the universe and creator of all things. I don't know how or why she got misled, but Michael, could you please pray for her? Because yeah. I believe she's got a good work ahead of her. The Lord's going to use her. I just know it. Could you pray for her, please?
Is that Diane?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we lift up Diane. We break the power of this deceptive religious spirit off of her right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to leave her right now. And Father, we thank you for opening up her spiritual eyes and ears to see the truth of the gospel, the true gospel. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Father, for granting repentance into her. And Lord, we thank you for opening her heart to receive all that you can give her, Lord. And that's everything she needs. And I thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree you back into the kingdom, the true kingdom, right now, Diane, in the name of Jesus. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. We praise you, Father, for bringing Diane into the truth. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory, hallelujah. Woo, my. Thank you, Father. You're going to see a change in that woman. Thank you, Lord. Ah, my. It's still going. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Yeah, Missy.
I like to share something. I was getting on YouTube now and then. And I had two dreams that, well, yesterday morning when I woke up, I had a dream and I didn't remember it until later, whatever. And I recognized that I realized that these dreams were because of what I had seen on YouTube. And it wasn't like anything that I watched was horrible or whatever, but so I knew that was watching YouTube, something that seemed like harmless and in a sense it was like the Lord got my attention with that, you know, and so I had to repent. And I was repenting last night, and actually not last night, but yesterday morning or whatever. I don't remember anymore what it was. I think it was yesterday morning. But anyway, so yeah. And but anyway, when I was repenting, what came to me was something that Ram had shared. Tuesday about escapism. So I commanded that to go, and I just commanded any spirits that I'd received from any media or whatever. And boy, was I yawning left and right, and my eyes were watering, and I just felt so light. And so when I got up this morning, I've been believing for my eyes to be healed in a couple different ways. You know, my vision, but also when I get up in the morning, my eyes are really dry and it's hard for me to open my eyes up. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm healed. But when I woke up this morning, my right eye wasn't dry at all. I had no problem opening it, and my left eye was only a little bit. And it was just like, I believe the Lord was showing me because of my repentance, that's why this healing is manifesting. but I know that I am healed 2,000 years ago at the cross. But anyway, so then that's one praise report. And then the Lord was really convicting me about that I was going to, before the Lord really put it in me to believe for Brooke to be able to nurse Maverick when she has him, because she wasn't able to nurse Blake. I told him that I would buy him a container of formula. But then I started believing, you know, praying and believing that she would be able to. And it was just like the Lord's been speaking to me about, you know, well, you know, if you believe that she's going to be able to nurse him, they ain't going to need that. So I finally decided that I wasn't going to do that. And I asked Brooke, you know, what there, if there was some things that they didn't get that they needed. And so she told me, so I ordered them for her and having them delivered to their house. And so then I come up and I tell Merle the whole story. And I said, you know, I need to act on my faith. I need to believe and all, you know, that, and I was just confessing my faith, you know, and it was just like, I just felt so energized and so good. And my sciatic nerve was bothering me a little bit. And I noticed that it wasn't bothering me then hardly at all, you know? And, so I went out on a walk today and there's just some other things that's been bothering me, and I'm believing that I am healed because I am healed. And I've just been confessing a lot over and over that I'm healed, you know, all everything, you know, from the top of my head to the tips of my toes. And I name them, you know, I'm healed. This is healed. That's healed, whatever. And, oh my gosh, I felt so good when I went out on my walk today. And, lots of times when I get done with my walk, I feel like drained and tired. And that's what happens when you have pain, it'll tire you out. But I, you know, I didn't feel like that at all. And I just praise and thank the Lord that I am healed, and I praise and thank you. Even, you know, until, you know, it's absolutely completely manifested, but it is healed, and I am healed, and the enemy's not going to take it away from me. It's mine, and he's not going to convince me with his lies of lying symptoms, and I'm healed, and so are all you. Don't receive his lies for one minute. I just praise you, and I thank you, Lord, that you are a healer, and just thank you, Lord, for taking the curse for us, Lord, and taking away our sin. In Jesus' name, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, Ariana.
Sorry, I just had to mute myself. My request is I would like to pray, if that's okay, for this whole thing. I have a praise report as well. Last night, Tuesday night, well, because it was yesterday for me, but my blood has all dried up. My anemia has completely gone, which is absolutely fantastic. And I wanted to also say loads of things actually happened that evening, because I had this oppressive spirit on me. And do you know that scripture it says about the canker worm, the locust, and it was like that came in for a few months, where it was just oppressing me and making me believe accusations of Satan. That was completely removed as well. And I felt so energized that I couldn't even sleep because that anemia was just taken off me. So I was just like, hallelujah. And I was just praising the Lord. And he said to me, I want you to fast. So when you sent me that to this morning about fasting, I was like, Heavenly Father already told me to do that. So it's wonderful, really. So yeah, that's a praise report. But I would like to pray, if that's okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, Thank you so much, Lord and God, and we invite you and your spirit and your presence to be very strongly upon our meeting here. Let us be joined together as one in spirit. Please, Lord, make me completely disappear and let only you be seen and you be glorified. And may we all speak as oracles of you, Father. May our words that fill our mouths be only from you and your holy word, the word of Jesus, the Logos, and your spirit, Father, imbue all of us. And please anoint Michael as the leader of this fellowship. Please give him in abundance and a triple portion of your spirit to be upon him and upon all of us, Lord, right now, so we can honor you and praise you and to give you all the praise, Lord, and all the thanks, and to be content in all our circumstances, even when they are trying, even when we are under duress, even when we are stressed. And I just ask, please, that you fill us with your boldness, your courage, and your power, and completely nail that all the parts of the carnal nature of our carnal mind, it be completely nailed upon that cross, that it can't even move, that it can't even rise up within us, and that it can be, that it's completely dead and gone and buried, and that the newness of the spirit of the liberty of Christ Jesus be poured out upon all of us, Lord. Because the days ahead, Father, we need your spirit upon us. Mm-hmm. And I just thank you that you have blessed incredibly that brother and sister. I'm sorry, I don't know their name, but you do, Father. I knew that you would give them the house and everything will go well. And I'm so grateful for every single blessing you have blessed all of us with, Father. And I also pray for Brother Andrew, Arnetta's husband. I please ask that you bind every carnal flesh of that wants to disrupt the spirit in him, and I loose upon himself the spirit of self-control, Father, and I loose upon us all this evening in the authority invested in me through Jesus Christ, that his joy, that the spirit of the fruit of the Holy Spirit of joy be poured upon us, that inner joy, and let us rejoice always in you as and our Lord Jesus as our Savior and our Deliverer. And Andrew has already, or Andreas, I don't know his name, but he has already been delivered from all these things. And please just develop within him by the washing of the water of your word daily, that he assimilate it into his mind, and give us all the mind of Christ Jesus, that we think only like Jesus would think and be, and imbue us all with your character, the character and nature and spirit and fruit of the Lord Jesus. And we can only do that by and through your spirit, Lord. And we thank you for it, and we invite it, and we just ask, Father, that you bring forth all the fruits of your spirit and develop them and bring them forth. Because it's not by might, it's not by power, it's certainly not by the flesh. It is by your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. And we praise you and just ask, Lord, that you completely decimate every part that is bringing doubts, that is because it's not only Satan that we contend with, Lord, it is ourselves. You know, the biggest battleground is self as well, and we just ask that be completely nullified and destroyed, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, who already did it. But let us always be finely attuned, Father. Help us to be finely attuned to your spirit all the time, Father, to be consciously aware in our very souls, in our psyche, to be consciously aware of your spirit all the time, and may it take control, Father, over us. And I also ask for Andrew's friend, Mickey, or Mikos, or whatever his name was, that who's in hospital. He is indeed, his leg is healed. He will have a supernatural fast healing, and I just pray that you enter into his heart and you grant him repentance. And I ask that, please, for Diana as well, and that they let go and that they can be completely delivered and set them free from the captivity that they're held in, from the false religious lies, from Buddhism, from New Age, from all the things that have disrupted the truths of your word, Father, because Jesus said he is the only way, he is the only truth, and his words are spirit and life. And without that, it is shrouded in lies. And those lies are from Satan, and he is diminished. He is gone. He is dead. He is finished. He is already burning in the lake of fire. So we thank you for that. And I ask as well that you affect Mikos's heart so deeply, Father, that you open his heart and his soul and his mind so that you can convict him deeply and that he can get to know the accurate knowledge of the truths of the gospel, of the good news, Father, and that he can repent and believe, because it is salvation to everyone who believes. So I just ask for that for him, and that you work upon his heart and his soul, and that he can come to give his entire life to you, Lord, and that he understand and really you open his heart to understand the depths of your love for him, and that you sent your only begotten son so that he might be saved. And I just pray that that great love of you affect and infect his heart so deeply. And I pray that Andrew, Andreas, that you affect him and be upon him, and your spirit be upon him when he speaks to his friend, and so that whatever you get him to say will affect his friend so deeply that he will be in no doubt concerning the supernatural power of Jesus Christ in Andrea's life and in his own life, and that he will see that through the supernatural healing he will go through, and he will be outside of ITU before the time they gave him. And I also pray for forgiveness upon his heart, upon that man who did that. And I pray for that man too. I pray that he be healed and delivered from every demonic spirit, and that he also be granted repentance and to get to know the good news of the truth of Jesus Christ. And I just pray that those people there who were affected, that you take away the trauma, that you take away any anger and bind that, Lord, and just loose upon them your all-surpassing peace, and that they consider, Father, the truths of your word and of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And you can do that, Father. And I pray that this be that this whole scenario that happened, that it be turned around to be a glory to you, Father, as all our circumstances, and that we can indeed say, like Paul in Philippians, that we do not have to be anxious about anything, but with prayer and thanksgiving that we come to you, and that you turn around events, Father, and we can trust in you because you never lie. Everything you say is the truth. And I just pray as well that you give us the fruit of the spirit of patience and waiting on you and enduring and standing with you, Lord, so that you be glorified, and that we understand and know that even during the testings and trials of our faith, that it's already done. It's just a test, and it is also for us to deeply reflect if we have in any way done anything that has been displeasing to you. And I just ask for the thoughts in our minds and in our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight here this night and every single day, every single moment, Father. And I just thank you so much, Lord, and I praise you beyond praise. And I ask, please, that each and every one of us keep being broken, Lord, in the fact of letting your spirit flow freely, the anointing of your spirit flow freely upon us all. And that can only be done when our self is broken, when the old man, the old woman, that every part, every last vestige of what interferes with living in the spirit be completely broken, so that your spirit, Father, can take precedence, can be in richness and fullness in our lives, Lord, so that we do not have a spirit of fear, but of self-control and of your love, and to be perfected in your love, Lord. And I just pray that your blessings and your spirit flow now freely upon us all. In Jesus' precious and most magnificent, powerful, delivering name, and the only name under heaven in which we can all be saved. So I thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with her, and we believe it's done, Lord. Thank you for it, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Glory to God. Let's see. That must be Geneva. Go ahead, Geneva.
It is me. Hey, everybody. got a little pep in my step today. Yee-hoo! I just want to thank the Lord because I know I said it on the little group chat we got going, but praise the Lord, Morgan got that job, the electrical position, and they offered it to him right on the spot. So that was an answered prayer as well. And it's funny because when he called me, he goes, I misunderstood him when he was coming back from the interview. He goes, what'd you say? He said, that they said, we'll call you in 2 weeks. And at first my heart kind of was like, oh gosh, like 2 weeks, like that they're going to interview other people. And he goes, what? He goes, what are you talking about? He goes, I got the job. And I was like, huh? He goes, no, he said, they said, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And then I was like, praise the Lord. Yes. Like, so anyways, I was very happy and Morgan's happy. And it's just, you know, the thing that's a blessing too, is they said that there's a lot of room for advancement. And, before where he worked, it was kind of in Ohio. It was like a, one of those agencies where it's like a, you work to hire basically, but here he's like with actual company and he will be, you know, he can work his way up. And that's actually the position that came available, that he's taking. The guy, he was only there for a few months and they already promoted him. So, just thanking the Lord that, God's going to move him up and I will be a stay at home mama. So praise the Lord.
Amen. Is this an electrical contractor he's working for?
No, this one, it's a, they make, was it bottling?
They make, bottling and pump systems.
Yeah. Conveyors. They make bottling and pump systems for conveyors. Oh, so it'll be like filling the panels and stuff. Yeah.
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 Okay. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, that, giving him wisdom, giving Morgan wisdom, and, Father, that, he'll grasp everything right away and move right on up the company. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that Geneva is going to be a stay-at-home mom, just like we prayed here a few months ago. We thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. That's right. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Yeah, Isaac. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm on a phone. No, I just got a little testimony I want to share. I was at a work today, and, you know, there's a lot. I just don't know this new facility. It's a lot of robots and, like, actual multi-axis robots. A lot going on there. Anyways, so you know, I was finishing orientation. I'm supposed to go down and hang out with maintenance for a little bit and kind of learn and get some information from them, just run with them. And from my experience, that's the best way to do it. You want to learn something, you know, run with the maintenance guys. You know what I mean? I've been maintenance my whole life. That's what I know. Or talk to the operators, right? So anyways, when I got there, the machine was down and there's a lot of, I don't even know how to say it. There's a lot of, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember. Interlocks, a lot of interlocks. Mm-hmm. And, man, I don't know anything about this. It's a whole new PLC process. I don't even understand how to get online with these PLCs. I've never seen them before. You know, for now, the Lord's in catching up speed. I'm not worried about that, but I'm just saying this is new to me. Very new. Well, the maintenance guy was trying to figure it out, and he couldn't get it. There was a few panels not talking, and he was trying to put everything in bypass mode. So these machines, they make alternators and starters. And it's quite a process. A lot of small parts, a lot of tight tolerances. It's all amazing. Anyways, and I didn't know what to do. I was just watching him, and I turned my cell phone light on for him. I said, "Well, I can turn on a flashlight for you." You know, I'm pretty good at that. But I laid my hand on the machine. I don't even know why, but I thought about, you know, how David a few times has done that. And I just laid my hand on the machine. I said, "In Jesus' name, work." And the lights went bump, bump, bump all across on the Jesus' name, man. Woo, hallelujah. I'm just like that. And I kind of stepped back and said, "Oh, all right. Praise the Lord." And it was just like that. And the maintenance guy looked at me and he's like, "What happened?" And I said, "Man, it's working. Praise God." And, you know, it worked out real well. Me, him, and the other guys, we got to spend time today talking about the Lord. And we just talked about the Lord for the longest time. And man, I'm just so thankful to have conversations with these guys and to listen to them and learn what I need to learn from them. You know, and it could be more than just work. I don't know. It was very peaceful. But yeah, I just want to share that testimony.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for doing that for Isaac. Now he's in with the guys. Thank you, Lord. Okay, anyone else? Listen, Isaac, the PLC is the PLC. They all do the same language.
Yeah, you're right. You know, I got to remind myself of that too, but you're exactly right. And that's what they told me. And I won't keep going here so I can let you go on. But, they said, you know, Alan Browie Mitsubishi, it's going to be the same. They said, you're going to see it. It's going to read ladder logic. You'll be fine. Yeah. And I've seen it today and it made sense. And I was just like, man, yeah, you're right, man, for sure.
All right, Joe, go ahead, brother.
I want to pray peace about something. Lord Jesus, thank you for working in our lives, working in each and everyone's lives for the time we're in. Lord, I come before you now in Jesus' name. For about this energy crisis, I bind up every spirit of political, every spirit of personal gain about this energy crisis, that it be resolved in Jesus' name. Amen. To take it all out of not the personal gain that people get just for money's sake, and all the people that damage what they cut for people, hospitals and things, let it be resolved over peace. Ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I believe it, and I stand with you, brother. All right, anyone else?
Thank you.
Okay, I hope everybody got the email I sent out about chapter 7. Okay. Amen. Missy wanted to go into chapter 7 of the tongue conquers a curse, or the power of the tongue, whichever one you remember. And it's a good one. It's about praise and thanksgiving. And that's probably one we need to go over. And that's good. Missy, did you want to say anything? I know you don't want to teach, but go ahead and say something if you want to.
No, I already said some stuff before about it. So, no.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, that's as Missy and most everybody here knows, if you've been watching the local fellowship, is praise and worship is what gets them angels stirred up. They get when you praise and worship, they go to work. We're finding that out, and it's an awesome experience to know. That I think David talks about it in here when they sent the praise people out in front instead of the heroes. And that's what brought everything down. God just loves for us to praise and worship him and glorify him in everything. So we'll go ahead and get started here. And if anybody's got any questions, just go ahead and raise your hands, and either Judy or Missy, either one will let me know if I'm reading. And somebody wants to ask a question or something. I'm going to go ahead and start. The Apostle Paul tells us, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying as the need may be. And the Greek is building up of the need, that it may give grace to them that hear, Ephesians 4:29. So the words that come out of your mouth must be words of grace. But sometimes people have a misunderstanding of what grace is. Grace can be chastening or even hard words that need to be said to people. Grace is what we need from God, his favor. We should consider even God's chastening as favor, because he chastens every son which he receives, Hebrews 12:6. I certainly want chastening if I need it to turn and serve the Lord. Everyone here should want chastening if that's what is needed to get you on the right road. The best way, I believe, to not have corrupt speech come out of your mouth is to obey in giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. When I read that this afternoon, I thought about that book, Prison to Praise. You know, the guy that talks about when he was in prison and learned about that. Go ahead, Julie.
I was just thinking about the corrupt speech part.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. I muted you rather than let your hand down. I'm sorry. I didn't do it on purpose.
Thank you, Michael. I will. I'll just start over because I don't know when you muted me.
Go ahead.
I was thinking about the part where you said, where it says, "Where let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth." What might corrupt speech be? Because we don't always realize or catch ourselves. One of the things the Lord was showing me is that can be complaining, and it can be questioning God. Why is this happening to me? You know, just the wrong attitude about something. And I know sometimes we have to go to the Lord and say, okay, God, what's going on? Why is this on me? What happened? And, you know, are you trying to talk to me? But, you know, just being careful what we think and how we speak, what corrupt speech might be about. Because we have a tendency, our nature, just to be like, this isn't fair, God, why is this happening to me? Or start complaining about something, or even about how long something is. God's been working with me about that too. Just how long like a trial might be or something. That's all I want to share.
Amen. Amen. This next part is good too. We'll talk about this too. Giving thanks always for all things. And I'm sure that bothers some people because they don't think that all things come from God. In fact, there is a theology out there that everything good comes from God and everything bad comes from the devil. If any of you are parents, sometimes you know that you have to give things to your children which people don't think are good, such as sometimes spanking them. The devil is very good at that. We saw in the book of Job that Job has some self-righteousness, and it really took the devil to bring it out, make him willing to repent. The devil got permission from God to chasten Job, who came out of it well, and he was a better man for it. 1:11. In whom also we were made a heritage, having been foreordained according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his will. All things leaves nothing out. our Lord works all things after the counsel of his will and all things together for our good. Romans 8:28. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good, even to them that are called according to his purpose. God is the only one to whom the Bible attributes sovereignty. The devil is only permitted to do things because mankind permits him to do them. It is part of God's law. If we choose the devil, we get him for a while to chasten us, to motivate us to repent and turn to God. We can give thanks for all things because they all come from God. John 3:27. A man can receive nothing except it have been given him from heaven. Ultimately, it all comes from God, even chastening, and even when we're turned over to the devil, as when Paul turned a man over to the devil so that he might be saved. 1 Corinthians 5:5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. There's a good purpose here. So again, it all ultimately comes from God. Anybody got any questions about that? I've heard people say that God doesn't do this and God doesn't do that. Well, ultimately he allows it because of a sovereign reason that he has. Just like he did with Job. God tells us that he works all things together for our good. When he says this, it means the good and the bad that come our way are for our good. Even if something bad comes to teach us to use our faith against the bad. We must know that. Now, a lot of people would argue with David about this. If something had come to teach us to use our faith against bad, I've heard some of the faith teachers teach about that, but I can tell you this much. The devil, God uses the devil to do these things against us. And he does that for a reason, and that is to build our faith up. That's the devil. But God uses him. He did just like he did with Job. He obeyed him and sent him out there to run against you in order to strengthen your faith. And we must know that all comes from God because we really don't have a good reason to repent if it's only the devil coming against us. But Job understood this. Job 2:10, he says, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? He attributed the good and the bad that came into his life as being from the Lord, and we should too, because God is sovereign, and he works all things after the counsel of his will. Ephesians 1:11. Anyone got any questions or any comments? So we're to give thanks.
Michael.
This is a, yes. Yes, Ariana.
Yeah, I would just like to, I remember in the Sovereign God book where Brother David Eales wrote in there about how many people say that if God was in control there, that everything would be like ice cream. But actually that God needs corruption, he needs dirt, he needs the dirt of mankind's carnality, really, to produce the sons of God, that ultimately it's a controlled environment. And Jesus, didn't he? He said that the seed of wheat, it has to go into the ground to die, to be buried, to be brought forth. So that's the only way, really, what we learn, you know, and it actually ties in as well with the whole millennium reign, because you see people think, well, if the devil's gone, then there's no excuse for their behavior. You see, their hearts are wicked because they have not become new sons of God through the second Adam, Jesus. So that's the only way we can even enter, let alone see the kingdom of God and heaven, is by being born again through and by his spirit. And this is our probation and our learning ground, isn't it, to develop into becoming mature sons and daughters.
Amen. He's going to give us 3.5 years to get it right, to get this faith thing right. So we're to give thanks. This is the secret of power. We need to give thanks to God for the good and for the bad. And when we pray for the good, we need to give God thanks before we even see it. And we can do this since we know it all comes from him. He also taught us that we should believe that we have already received. Therefore, we shall have it. Mark 11:24. Therefore, I say unto you, all things whatsoever ye pray and ask for, believe that ye received them, and ye shall have them. After we pray, we have another reason to give thanks, because we have our answer. Philippians 4:6. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. In everything. Again, he tells us to pray. Give thanks and leave it in God's hands. Even before you see the answer, give him thanks. You know he's in control and doing all things for your good. And you might as well give him thanks, and he'll appreciate that, because he'll give you the peace of God and keep your thoughts, as it says. And in verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. You know, that's hard for a lot of people to do, is to praise God for something they hadn't seen yet. But if you'll do it, I guarantee you, you'll start seeing miracles. If y'all ever read that book, it's called From Prison to Praise. That's a good message about what David's teaching right here. Yeah, Ariane.
Yeah, I would like to share a personal testimony and experience of this myself. It happened to lots of brothers and sisters. I think of Watchman Nee as well. He was imprisoned for his faith, and he actually died in prison. But that's where he received his greatest revelations, and God utilized him even greater when he was in prison. But I would like to say that I was homeless. I was very hungry. I hadn't eaten for 3 weeks, and I was actually just walking around England on foot with a backpack and stuff. And I was so hungry, and I said to the Lord, look, I don't want to steal. This was before I even became born again, okay? So, and I said to the Lord, I'm so hungry, but I don't want to steal anything, because I know that's wrong. I said, I know what Jesus said, you know, about if you have faith the size of a mustard grain, you can move mountains. Now, I know I'm not worthy, Lord, but I do understand that with faith, all things are possible, and everything's possible with you. So I know that you will provide me with food. Then I knew it was an angelic, a heavenly being telling me where to go. I'd never been in this particular place in England. And this angelic being was telling me, go down this road. I'd never been in this area in my life. He said, you need to go here. He said, turn left. And it reminds me actually of, you know, Paul, when he was blinded, and then that brother, Ananias, was it? And he said, God doesn't mess about. He gives you exact directions. You know, he says, go to the street called Straight. You know, there's no messing about with God. He's like, and so I was like given, go down here, turn left here, go. And I did. I just listened. I got to this huge bridge, and it was very wide, and there was water, you know, which you couldn't, you'd have to swim over. But by the bridge, there was a bag. And nobody was there. It was completely desolate. Nobody was there. And I waited, actually. I waited around 50 minutes to make sure somebody hadn't just forgotten it. God, Heavenly Father said to me, go to this bag and open it. And I did. And I was so weak by that time. And you see, Heavenly Father knows everything. He put in there sandwiches. There was even chocolate. And there was just pre-packed food for me to eat. And then he said, I'm going to teach you now how to live, you know, I'm going to tell you how to forage. I'm going to tell you what you can eat and what you can't eat just by foraging, basically, as well. But he said, I have blessed you with this bag of food. And I literally went on my knees and I wept. And I said, thank you, Lord. I said, I know I don't deserve it. And I didn't. Yet, you see, he honors because he's God. He's omnipotent, he's all powerful, you know, and none of us are deserving of anything, but he glorifies himself, you see. He glorifies himself and he shows you when, you know, that what he can do and that he will look after you and honor who he is, you know, because he called us to become. And that is amazing and wonderful. And it's a true story. And that I have so many of them as well, like after that as well. So many wonderful things have happened, and I don't want to take over, you know, but if you would like me to share that more, please ask and I will. Thank you.
Okay. Maybe another meeting we can just allow you to tell you and give your testimony. That'd be great. All right. I don't know how many people have read our book, Sovereign God For Us and Through Us, but we receive testimonies from all over the world from those who claim that it has given them such peace to know that they are in the hands of the Lord. The book provides a good foundation of faith to do the works of the Lord, too, and to receive grace from God to be what we need to be. Once again, only God, who is in control, can say, and nothing be anxious. Anxiety and fear are unbelief, and they can prevent a person from receiving God's benefit. We all do it at times because we get anxious for what we see or we hear. But I've learned through the years from dealing with the things that I have dealt with to give it to the Lord and just put it on his altar and just walk away from it and just start praising God that he's doing the work and whatever it is that you're putting on the altar. And that's the rest he wants to send. It's still hard at times to do that. And I know we all struggle with it at times, but we just got to understand God's sovereign. He's ready and willing to help us. Pray and give thanks. The power of the tongue will bring you into the peace and protection of God. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, then, let us offer up a sacrifice of praise to God continually. There it is again. That is the fruit of lips which make confession to his name. We are commanded to give a sacrifice of praise unto God that agrees with his nature, character, and authority. Praise doesn't mean what a lot of people think it means. Praise means to brag on God about what he's done. We know that he's done it all, so we have a lot to brag on. When we ask God for something, the best thing to do from then on is to praise him and thank him for it. Prayer is to be just 1% asking. Now get this, this is important. And 99% praising and thanking until you see it come to pass. And we know it shall come to pass because Jesus said, believe that ye receive the past tense, them, and ye shall have them. Mark 11:24. We might as well thank him because that's faith, calling the things that are not as though they were. Romans 4:17. We believe we have received, and our thanks is a way of expressing our faith. Our praise is also faith because it's bragging about what God has done and bragging on who he is. What has he done? God has healed me. God has delivered me. God has provided for me. God has made me holy. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. All of that is praise to God. Amen. Go ahead, Geneva. I think I saw you had your hand up there just for a minute.
Oh, that was an accident. Sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Anybody else? Amen. He has already done it. And as you see, praise is a language of faith. Just like thanks is when you thank God for something that you hadn't seen yet. Philippians 4:6. It doesn't take a long time to ask him because he already knows what we need. And you're not going to be heard. Check this out. You are not going to be heard for your much speaking. Matthew 6:7. Just ask God and keep thanking him and praising him. When you get a chance, confess him before men. Tell them what he has done for you. For example, when someone questions you about some sickness that it seems apparent to them that you have, but you know you have given it over to the Lord, that by his stripes you were healed, 1 Peter 2:24, you can praise God to them, which is powerful. Many people are healed or blessed in some way after doing this. We can confess that we have been healed because Jesus bore the curse for us. He bore the stripes and what we should have received and what we should have received for our sin. Amen. We just praise God. When you pray, just start praising God and thanking God for the answer because it's coming. Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Praise should continually be in your mouth. Do you think the Lord has a problem with ego that he needs praise? Do you think that this is the way he wants us to spread the gospel, the good news? A lot of people think that praising the Lord is something you do in church. Actually, the Bible teaches that he wants us to praise him in front of the pagans too. They need to hear the good news and we have to brag on what the Lord has done. He has delivered me. He has healed me. He has saved me. He has provided for me. And it looks silly to some folk, but when it comes to pass, they know you've had a word from God. Verse 2, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The meek shall hear thereof and be glad. In the Old Testament, in most instances, the word praise means to boast or to brag on the Lord and what he has done. Hallelujah is the command to praise ye. YHWH. Many people only repeat the command instead of obeying it. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And the word magnify also fits in the definition of praise. You can't make the Lord bigger than what he is. And the problem is most people don't see a big God. They need to know the big God that you know, especially in these days. So magnify the Lord in their sight and boast about him. God appreciates that. Pat, would you read some more here? You mind reading some of this?
Sure. So many people are under a curse because they can't exercise faith. They don't know if God is able to handle their problem. They are full of fear, which is faith in the devil and the curse. 4, I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. This is one of the byproducts of praise, that he delivers you from your fears. Fear is a powerful tool of the devil that causes a lot of people to lose faith in the Lord and fall back into their worldly ways. Verse 5, they looked unto him and were radiant. Their faces shall never be confounded. Those who praise the Lord will never be put to shame. Verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Here is another byproduct of praise, that he delivers you from all troubles and afflictions. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around them that fear him and delivereth them. Verse 17, the righteous cried, and the Lord heard and delivered them out of all their troubles. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Praise the Lord. Psalm 149, verse 1, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. People who really love the Lord and are fired up about what he has shown them in the world, in the word, enjoy talking about him to one another. They love to praise him. He is their favorite companion and friend. They love to brag on what the Lord has done for us in the scriptures. That's what the Lord wants to be coming from us. People of the world see that and they say that we are crazy fanatics, but they know we have something, especially when God answers our praise and thanksgiving with his love and provides the answer to our problems that lead to testimonies. If you don't know God, if you don't know the gospel or what it's really about, then how will you brag on him? What has he done? Those few who know can tell people that he has healed, delivered, provided, made holy, delivered from the curse of this world. The gospel covers quite a lot. It is salvation in spirit, soul, body, and in circumstances. Yet surprisingly, few people know it. People aren't able to brag on him about these things because they aren't even aware that it's a provision that God has given them. Praise in the assembly is good, but it is probably one of the least important places to do this. God is interested in getting the gospel out, which is what we do through praise. Can I just say something?
Well, sure.
What we started out there was with fear, and that fear is one of the tools that the devil uses to squelch praise. And I know this for a fact, but uses fear, the fear of man, the fear of intimidation or whatever it would be, to squelch praise. And it appears to me that we have been brought into this place through the specific leading of the angels, brought into this place of praise. And as I've, it seems to me like God is using, that he uses praise coming out of our mouth to, I'm going to say, convince or overwhelm the carnal, the flesh, the and bring that it's not only an opportunity for others to hear of God's blessing or God's reality or what he's doing, but it's also transforming us by forcing that soul within us to align fully with God, with God's word. And so, and it just seems like that it's interesting that David started out with fear as one of the things that squelches that. But anyway, I just wanted to say that. Do you want someone else want to say something?
Yeah, I will say something on that too. Yeah. You know, when you learn about praise and thanking the Lord for what it doesn't make any difference what it is, and you do it out in public a lot, it just comes natural after a while. It does. It just kind of, I mean, I can bark my shins on that trailer hitch in the back of my truck. I've done it half a dozen times till I started taking that thing out and putting it to my, but it didn't make any difference. I was downtown. I praise God. I said, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it wouldn't take just a few seconds for pain to leave, you know. And I say it out loud. People be looking at me. I don't care. Pain's got to go. Praise God, you know. And that's what happened. Amen. That's what happened. We learn. When you learn to do it, regardless of where you are, it just comes natural after a while, doesn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I know all of you probably use that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, go ahead, Pat.
Where did I stop? Page 4? Sorry, I lost my place.
You're down there where it says 96 and 7. Psalms 96 and 7. Ascribe unto the Lord.
Ascribe unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the peoples. Ascribe unto the Lord glory and strength. Excuse me. People need to know that the Lord is big enough and strong enough to handle their problems and situations. And we need to tell them. If you have a testimony to share and how the Lord answered your faith and took care of your problem, you need to share this with others so that they understand that he will take care of their problems by faith also. He is no respecter of persons. Romans 2:11. Verse 8, ascribe unto the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. We are told that the praise of thanksgiving is the way to enter into his courts, Psalm 100, verse 4. The offering, as we have discovered, is the sacrifice of our lips in giving praise to him, Hebrews 13:15. Verse 9, O worship the Lord and in holy array, tremble before him, all of the earth. Say among the nations, not only in the church, the Lord reigneth. The world is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the people with equity. There are many church songs that people just sing because they enjoy singing, but their hearts are not into the words, just the beat, and they're not praising the Lord before anyone who's really listening. People are singing because someone else is singing. There's a lot of phoniness in religion, and a lot of things are done in the church that are simply done out of habit. If they were singing songs of the world, they would enjoy them just as much. Those who are alive in Christ love to say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. He is in control. However, some are unable to say this because they're caught up in false doctrine. It makes them nervous to think the bad things happening to them are chastenings from the Lord and not just from a bad devil. That the Lord reigneth puts fear in the wicked because they have thought all things come by chance. Things just happen. Nonetheless, things do not just happen. God works all things after the counsel of his will, Ephesians 1:11. This puts the fear of the Lord in the heart of the sinner. The Lord reigns. He is in control, and he is bringing judgment upon the world. There are a lot of liberal churches out there that quickly tell people that the Lord didn't do it when something bad happens. If that was really true, then why should we fear him at all? Therefore, we are supposed to praise him among the nations, not just in the church. It's also true that among the people of God, we need to hear more praise and testimonies in the churches about what God has done in people's lives, since there is not much of that going on there either. I was in a house where the husband attended our Bible studies. The wife attended a mainline denomination. She shared with me that she had restless leg syndrome and had not been able to sleep decently for years. I told her that a demon from which Jesus had already delivered her at the cross. I told her that it was a demon from which Jesus delivered her at the cross. I told her that because of what Jesus did in Colossians 1:13, all we had to do was cast it out. She agreed, so I commanded it out as her husband prayed. It left immediately. She was overjoyed and wanted to share this with her church, where she was the secretary. She asked the pastors if she could share a testimony at the end of the sermon, and they agreed. When she shared what had happened, the people were happy, and some congratulated her because they knew her as a friend. However, the pastors seemed aloof and left the room. She went to them and asked them if anything was wrong. And although they said no, she knew that they were troubled. There's not a lot of faith being preached, nor is there a lot of real gospel being preached. So people don't know they have opportunity to partake in the miracles, signs, and wonders of the Lord in their personal lives today. That's a sad thing. They miss out on much of the testimonies that would be heard in a real New Testament Christian church. I have had the opportunity to brag about the Lord in many old order denominations, and the people there are hungry and love it. But it is the preachers who hate it. They have jealousy and want to protect their ego.
That's a natural fact, too. The apostate preachers don't like it when they see miracles. They don't like it when the Holy Spirit comes in.
All right. You know, I had that experience when early on in my passing through some of the denominations, and I realized that the reason that they get angry is because they haven't experienced it themselves. And so but the problem is somewhere along the line, whether, you know, they decided to accept what the guy was telling them in the pulpit, as opposed, especially as it opposed what was written in the Bible. And they either made the decision or thought that, you know, well, this guy here is educated, he's been through school or whatever, he must know the best way about it. So the Bible here must be wrong or something, or, you know, and then, but the problem is they haven't experienced it themselves in one form or another. And so when somebody does experience that, it makes them uncomfortable. So,
well, I like what Paris Reedhead said. He said, and he's talking about these schools, these seminaries. He said, you got one dead head teaching another dead head, and all they do is begat dead heads because they're not teaching the whole gospel.
Let the dead bury the dead.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Oh my. I think they ought to shut down all the seminaries because they don't preach the whole gospel. They don't teach the whole gospel.
Do you believe, so I thought I'm going to run my mouth, but that's why the churches, there's such that God has prepared a lot of people in those churches, because I believe that number one, I came through one, and I know that there's people in there that want to know the church. I mean, want to know the Lord and the truth, but there's a system there, and there's a whole, you know, structure there that they, for whatever reason, are afraid to wander out of. So I think that when the gospel is presented, when the Lord opens that door and that avenue, I think people are going to come flocking out of those institutions looking for the truth, especially when they see healings and people being raised from the dead and various things like that. So anyway, I'll shut up and let someone else say something.
Well, you're exactly right. When they start seeing signs and wonders that they read about in the Bible, but they're not hearing it up in the pulpit, and they're going to see the pastors up there come against the people who are doing the signs and the wonders, the elect is going to come out by the flocks, because they're going to understand. I've had preachers tell me that the Holy Spirit was just not their ministry, and that's very really. And what was interesting about that is that I prayed for them, and I left. I was a brand new Christian. I wasn't a Christian 6 months. And, of course, I left that place and went to another place. But that's the guy that his daughter married a full gospel guy. And he went to a revival, what they call a revival, at that church. He got filled himself. And he got kicked out of the Baptist church. But praise God, you know, he had enough sense to understand once he understood what it was. Rather than going and searching it out himself, he had to wait and let his daughter tell him, you know. But anyway, at least he did listen. That's a lot of what he listened to.
Amen. He overcame the ego that David was about there.
Yeah.
Humbled himself under the mighty hand of God, and God lifted him up. Amen.
Amen.
Praise has the power to deliver you from the enemy. It has power to bind the enemy. Psalm 149:6, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. The word of God is a two-edged sword, Hebrews 4:12. The Israelites, with their two-edged sword, went into the promised land and put to death their enemy. The sword is the word of God, and it comes forth out of our mouth, as it is in the Lord's mouth when he comes back to slay his enemies, Revelation 19:15. When he says the high praises of God be in their mouth, it means we are bragging on what the Lord has done. He's conquered our enemies already. He's redeemed us from the hand of the enemy and out of the hand of all who hate us, Luke 1:74. So the high praises of God are like the sword in the hands of those Israelites, and we are conquering our promised land with them. We also have authority in the will of God over our physical nations and their leaders through praise and the spoken word. Verse 7, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples. 8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them judgment written. This honor have all the saints. Praise ye the Lord. The praises of God will execute vengeance upon the nations. Most of God's people have not learned what praise is and that they should do it without ceasing. It's going to be necessary in the days ahead for God's people to be spared at the hands of the nations. When the nations came against Jehoshaphat, Jerusalem, and Judah, Israel was greatly outnumbered and likely to be destroyed. If God didn't step in, 2 Chronicles 20 verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them some of the Amorites, came against Jehoshaphat to the battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, from Syria, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, the same is En Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek unto the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to seek help of the Lord. Even out of the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, O Lord, the God of our fathers, art thou God in heaven? Art thou not God in heaven? And art not thou ruler over all kingdoms of nations? And in thy hand is power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Did you notice the praise? Did you notice the bragging on the Lord, whom Jehoshaphat said would execute punishment on the nations and bind their leaders, as we saw in Psalm 149? Jehoshaphat continued with a lot of other reasonings as to why God should preserve them from their enemies, which are the United Nations of the North, South, East in relation to Jerusalem. Verse 10, and now behold the children of Ammon in the north, and Moab in the east, and Mount Seir in the south, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade. When they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned aside from them and destroyed them not. Behold how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. The beast came to take back the promised land, a great army coming against them. Verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Isn't that like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9? Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weakness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Lord showed me years ago that this 2 Chronicles text is going to be fulfilled again in the end times. There is a great persecution going on during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, when the armies of the world are rising up against God's people. This is going to separate the true wheat from the chaff and tares, but then God is going to stand up and bring destruction to these armies, and will draw the king of the north, the king of the south, the king of the east together at the beginning of the day of the Lord, in Zechariah 14:3, to face God's saints who are praising him in his ark of safety. 2 Chronicles 20:16, tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the ascent of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Kohathites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with an exceeding loud voice. Verse 20, they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and they went forth. Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so that ye shall be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed them that should sing unto the Lord and give praise in holy array. Some translations say in the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and say, give thanks unto the Lord, for his loving kindness endureth forever. Notice that the praisers went out before the army. Can you imagine anyone going out into a battle with overwhelming odds against them and putting the praisers out there first? They'd all be dead if it wasn't for God Almighty. Thanks and praise be to God that's what they did. This brought God's power into the picture, and his power was made perfect through their weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9.
Amen. That verse in 16, the last word in there, Jeriel, that's the name of that angel over across the hall there.
Amen.
You want me to continue? Questions? Yes, please. Unless somebody has a question or a comment. Go ahead.
God told them, excuse me. God told them they didn't have to fight and he would take care of it. Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set lyres in wait against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir that were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. They destroyed each other, and the saints were preserved. This is going to happen again when the armies of the world, the kings, the king of the north, the king of the south, the king of the east, are all going to rise up. Some people say that they will come only against natural Jerusalem. But everything that is fulfilled in the letter is also fulfilled in the spirit. Christians worldwide are going to be hated of all nations. Matthew 24:9. Excuse me. And there will be an attempt to wipe out Christianity and its true leadership, just as they attempted to in the physical to wipe out Jerusalem. However, God's people are going to praise the Lord, and he's going to preserve them in the spiritual ark while casting their enemies to destroy each other. What's going to do this? Praise.
Well, that's an awesome, awesome story of God's wonderful taking care of his people when they praise him. He does that. He still does it. Glory to God.
So, Michael, how is that? I know how that's applied, but what we were talking, you know, what David is saying is that what is happening there in Jerusalem or with the Israelites was a physical, yet with us, the body is going to be worldwide. So is the north, south, and east going to be, it's not a physical place. It's much more. How do you interpret that?
Let's see what Judy says. Are you fixing to give us an answer or what?
Yeah, maybe. As I was reading that, and what I believe what the Lord was revealing to me, and maybe you said it in there, I just read it. I've read further than this, but that's going to happen is like at the end of, you know, the Gog Magog thing. It's the end, the last war. You know, the day of the Lord when they all come against Jerusalem. The saints, us, you know, yes. after the day of the Lord, when they rise up against us and Jesus is going to speak the judgment on them and they're done. They're gone. You know, that's how I read it. Yeah. So it's going to be a physical thing that's going to happen and it's going to be right before the millennium. That's what happens when they come against us. Isn't that how you understood it?
Well, I was thinking in terms of being worldwide, it's going to be hard to know, you know, what's the comparison of what's north, what's east, what's south. Is that just that mean it's going to be all over the world, or
you're going to, you know, God's got his bride all over the world. The bride right now is all over the world. The bride is a special people that that lasts, you know, all the way through to the to the rapture. And at that time, they're protected. They're in the ark. They're going up with God. He's going to take care of his people. Now, we're talking two different things here, I think. We're talking about the very end, at the end of the millennial. And the very end of the millennial is when the armies come against Jerusalem. And the one in Jerusalem, those saints there are in a glorified body. How they figure they can take care of them is beyond comprehension, but that's that stupid demon that they get. And that's when God wipes him out with fire. Yeah, Ariana.
Yeah, I'd like to answer that biblically to help Brother Pat's understanding from the Bible. In Revelation, you know, it talks about the north, east and south and west of the temple. We are the temple, so that helps us identify how God's body is worldwide. So that's what I hope that helps in your understanding of that. That's mm-hmm. all.
Okay. Yeah, there's two different ends that you're talking about there, and the very end is pretty cut and dry. I mean, they're going to try to come against God's glorified people, but at the end of the rapture, they're going to be zapped out of here, and there's going to be they're going to turn against each other and fight one another and wipe a lot of them out. The only ones left is what's going through the millennial reign, as we talked about, you know, last week. So it's going to be interesting.
Amen.
Has anybody got anything else they'd like to comment on what we're talking about? I like this next part. Do you mind reading this next next paragraph?
Praise binds and destroys the enemy. You have enemies that are not all physical. Some are physical and some are spiritual. Psalm 149:6. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, a two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance upon the nations and punishments upon the peoples. During the tribulation, so many things will get very bad. The great and terrible judgments that fell in Egypt and that fall in the book of Revelation are because of the great persecutions of God's people. God is defending his people with these judgments. He's trying to get people to wake up and cease from what they are doing. Through their praise, God is using his people to judge all the nations around them. He is judging Egypt so that their leadership would let my people go, Exodus 5:1. In the end time, it will be the same way, not just as in our text. Psalm 149:8, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Who has the authority to bind? We do. Jesus gave that to us, Matthew 18:18. What things whatsoever ye shall bind or forbid on earth shall be bound or forbidden in heaven, and whatsoever things you shall loose, permit, on earth shall be loosed, permitted in heaven. When it says to bind their kings and their nobles, that we can have a double, that can have a double meaning, who really are the principalities that rule over the heathen? They think they elect their officials, but Satan is the god of this world, Matthew 4:8-9, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible calls him the god and king of Babylon because Babylon worships and serves him, Isaiah 14. And his nobles are principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, Ephesians 6:12. Yes, he is the god of this world, and the whole world is Babylon because it all came from Babel, out of which it was dispersed and spread across the world, Genesis 11. So Satan has his princes that rule, but we can see here that the high praises of God in the mouths of the saints, which is none other than the word of God, the sword will bind their kings and their nobles. We have authority over all the power of the enemy, Luke 10:19. We have power and praise. When we praise the Lord, he gives us a victory.
As Amen. Will you stop right there?
All right.
Yeah. Thank you, Pat. That's, you know, when God made Adam, he gave him dominion over everything. And then he gave it away. He gave it back to us, or gave it to Satan. But then when Christ came, he took it back and gave us dominion. We have the same dominion as Adam had when he was walking on this earth. Everything that Jesus had, we have access to. The Lord wanted us to go out and preach the gospel, heal the sick, deliver the bound up, and all of those things. And he did not leave us without the tools to do it with. And that's with praise, worship, and faith. Faith, of course, being the primary thing. So, do it. Get it out there.
Amen.
Anybody got any comments or questions? What about you, Missy? You're the one that came up with all of this.
Well, just the Lord is so sovereign. I shared the other day when we were talking about this that, oh gosh, where was that at? I was talking about Psalm 100, that I had gotten that as a random verse for a psalm, you know, about, about entering his courts with thanksgiving in our, enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts and whatever. Anyway, and when I was reading this, this is like the third time in one day that I came across that, you know, it was, you know, and the Lord was just really trying to impress that upon me. And then this here in 2 Chronicles about Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, that day in the morning prayer meeting, I had actually gotten that. The day that I read this, you know, here, that day in the morning prayer meeting, I got where it talks about that whole scenario in Judges. So it was just like about how, you know, they were originally that they weren't permitted to go through their land in Judges, you know, and then but in the context of this, it talks about all that. But it's just so cool. I'm like, wow, the Lord was just reiterating things over and over, you know. And it was just amazing to me. So, you know, they wouldn't let them in Judges, they wouldn't let them, you know, go through the land. But then later on, you know, God defeated them by the people's praises, you know. So that's pretty
Amen. Cool. Amen. I want to pray before we get out of here. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just praise you and I thank you for David's clarity of thought now, and the super energized in his body. We praise you, Father, for your protection upon him against the enemy that have been coming against him. And I praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you have restored all of his recall memory. You have restored everything that the enemy has tried to take from him. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving him a good night's sleep tonight also, and all of us a good night's sleep tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, strengthen all of us during this fast and keep it in our hearts to praise you, Father, for the victory over the enemy. And that enemy is the beast, ourself, and the world. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' name. Glory, hallelujah. We just thank you, Father, that all the prayers that we have spoken today are being answered even as we speak right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that these people that we pray for redemption, they are already in the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, we praise you, Father, that this young man that was hurt in this accident is healed, and he's brought into the kingdom as well. And we praise you for all the prayers being answered tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, be with us till we come back again next Tuesday in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory be to God. All right, saints. Good night. God bless you.